Amen. We're going to be again in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, where we was at a couple Wednesday nights ago. Of course, last Wednesday night we were virtual due to a little COVID situation that Lord's was gracious helping us through. So tonight, of course, we're back in the building. And I always want to tell people, if you should ever be, you think you're the cause of that, don't forget that your pastor made us quarantine too for a couple of weeks in January. So it sure does happen. So Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. Actually, I believe the Lord spoke through Brother Wiley two Wednesday nights ago. We was dealing with this text about the Lord builds his church. And of course, it's encouraging when you read the phrase, Jesus said, I will build my church. That's encouraging. He will build his church. But we hardly touched on this second phrase. And what an encouragement to, first of all, know the Lord will build his church. But also, not only to know that the Lord will build his church, but that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the Lord will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So immediately one can think, and we should think this, that what the Lord builds cannot be destroyed. It can't be destroyed. It's not like, and do pray for the communities in Louisiana. They were hit by a hurricane. So it reminds us that you build an earthly house, it can be destroyed. Sometimes I think of the song, I can't think of it now. It's been a longer day. But this house of clay, it will dissolve, you know, this home I'm living in, it'll fade away. And we know that, it's true. Our homes crack and settle, and shingles deteriorate, and walls, they need to be repainted. Constant updates, and a lot of our work is maintaining the status quo, because it's deteriorating, it's decaying, it certainly is. But the church is not like that. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So you could think the church is indestructible. The church carries on. The church cannot be destroyed. And I like to know that. I'm thankful the Lord teaches us that, because I'm a part of the church, and it's wonderful to know that I, within the church, am safe, and I will not be destroyed. So thank God for that. So what we see here, we have our enemy. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Everything and everybody has an enemy. And normally that enemy is on our mind. I even think of I like to think I'm somewhat of a small hobby beekeeper. I got two beehives. Me and my brother tried doing this for a while, and every hive I've had they're doing better now, but I found out in the news that, there's these things, these hornets that are starting to come into the country called murder hornets. That's their name of them, murder hornets. And it's a big hornet like the size of your thumb. It's big. It comes from Asia. And the murder hornets, they attack honeybees. And they literally, this might be too much knowledge, but they decapitate the honeybees and they eat the honeybees. And so if I was a honeybee, I'd be worried about the murder hornet. I sure would be. Everything has a worry. Everything has an enemy. Right now, the common enemy of all humanity is COVID. It's always on our mind. We're all affected by it one way or another. You could think of a moth. His enemy is flying into a spider's web. Everything has an enemy. Everything has opposition. And the church is no different from any other thing on earth. The church is on earth, and everything on earth, it seems, has somewhat of an enemy. Something that we worry about. Something that devotes some attention to caution or care or concern or trying to not let it happen. And so everything on earth has an enemy of some way, some opposition in some form or fashion. And the church is no different. The church is a living organism, just like a salmon is a living organism. It has opposition and natural enemies. The church is a living organism, just like a honeybee is a living organism. It has natural enemies and natural parasites. And everything that's living on earth has some type of opposition, some type of enemy, some threat to its existence. And the church, it's a living organism, and let me say that it is the greatest living organism in all the earth. It's been such a blessing to have the church in earth. The church is the salt of the earth. I think the only reason why that Jesus has, and it is the only reason why the Lord has not came and has not brought destruction to sinful man's world, is because the church of Jesus Christ is on earth. The church is literally the visible grace of God that holds back His wrath. That church is the salt of the earth. It preserves the earth. And without the earth, and you take the church away from the earth, and the earth will experience the wrath of God. And we see the church is the greatest blessing the world has ever seen, but the church is not without her enemies. Just like the honeybee. Just like the salmon. Some people say salmon. I don't know what that is. It's salmon. Just like every living organism has a threat. And the church has its threat. And so Jesus said, the church, I'll build my church. And He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, if you lived when Jesus said that the gates of hell, that would probably have more meaning. And I hope to bring some of the meaning out right now. Back in the old days, every single city, most cities, large cities, were surrounded by some form of walls. And within those walls were gates. And within those gates, and just within those gates, within those walls, were places of power, such as courts or businesses, places of great influence. So if you was a visitor to Knoxville, and maybe in Bible times, and there was a big wall around the city of Knoxville, you would enter into a specific gate, and the gate, right there at the gate, would be places of great influence. Like maybe the courthouse, or maybe the DMV. So if you're a traveler or you go there immediately, you've noticed this great influence, this place of power. So when Jesus says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, what He's saying is, you could think of hell then, or the workers of darkness. Of course, the devil comes to mind. The influence, satanic influence, comes to mind. So you can think of it as a great walled city. And every walled city in Bible times was a city that had a great means. It was a city that was influential. It was a city that had power. And so we can think about hell, the devil, demonic activity, wicked influence, as a walled city that has great power and great influence in the world today. We're not ignorant. We know that. We know the church will live forever. But we live in a world, and that world has great power, great influence, and we deal with that every day. And so the gates of hell, Jesus uses that expression very strategically. And so the listener immediately begins to think that the devil, the demonic activity of the world, it has great influence. And he strategically picks the description of the gates of hell as symbolism of the great influence or power of the devil, of the wicked one, and its institutions. Some of the past ones come to mind that was in opposition to the church would have been the Roman Empire. And remember, Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The Roman Empire, an institution of great power. They dominated the world. You would think at the time, especially at the infancy of the Christian church, that the Roman Empire was far more powerful than this little New Testament church at Jerusalem. The Roman Empire tried to stomp out the Christian church. The Roman Empire tried to physically kill the Christian church. The Roman Empire tried to disband the Christian church. And all the legions and all the power of Rome and Nero and his persecutions and his skinning Christians alive and him crucifying them upside down and having them skinned in front of everybody at Colosseums and starving lions and tigers and cheetahs and bears and starving them and then throwing them into the Colosseum with the Christians, you would think that the Roman Empire, who conquered all of the known world, Northern Africa, Jerusalem, Judea, Britain, as we know now, the Roman Empire conquered France and all these places, that surely they can conquer this little Christian church, these little group of believers that gather together in some graveyard. Surely the Roman Empire, with all of its power, is stronger than the Christian church. But Christianity overcame the Roman Empire. And so we think about all of that power, and Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. We could think about Catholicism, the Christian church, its justification by faith through grace alone, was under attack. You had to do this, you had to do that. In order to be right with God, you had to buy indulgences under Catholicism. In order to be right with God, you had to go visit the cathedral of St. Peter. In order to be right with God, you had to walk up the steps of St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome. In order to be right with God, you had to do this and do that. And it seemed the church could not exist. And the church, as you and I know it, the Christian church of justification by faith in Christ alone, it seemed like the Roman Catholic Empire was so greater than the Christian church at the time. Some would say it is the church. I disagree. I don't think it is the church of Jesus Christ. But they would say, how can the church overcome this? And then one little monk named Martin Luther discovered the just shall live by faith. And from that one man, it blossomed and bloomed, and the church once again overcame its oppressors. So the gates of hell will not prevail against the Christian church. We could think of now, think of the gates of the city, a place of power and influence. What are some of them today? Well, you could think of some in our recent past was communism. And even right now in communistic China, that the fastest growing church in the world is not in America, it's in China. And communism does not suffer Christianity at all. And Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. But generally here in America, we don't have hardly any persecution. You want to start a new church, you go on the road, you start your new church. You can meet in your house, you can meet anywhere. In China, you can't do that. It's amazing, though, that more people are being born again in China than there are being in America. What is happening? Jesus said the gates of hell, the institutions of demonic power, places of great wickedness, places of great opposition, they'll not prevail against the Christian church. That's what it means, the gates of hell. The institutions of demonic power cannot prevail against my church. So the church has overcome Rome, the church has overcome Roman Catholicism, the church has overcome communism, and even right now in China, the church still overcomes. It's as if Jesus' words really do matter. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Some other gates, the gates of hell, what are they even today? Well, communistic societies do not at all put up with Christianity, but yet Christianity thrives under great persecution. And can I pause right now and pray for our brothers and sisters? Can we pray? I would encourage you to pray for the Christian church in Afghanistan, where they're probably beheading them and stoning them and mutilating them. But listen, the Taliban cannot and will not prevail against the Christian church. It won't. It can't. It's impossible. Jesus said, I'll build my church. He said, I'll build my church. And the Taliban can't stop me. I'll build my church and Rome cannot stop me. I'll build my church and Roman Catholicism cannot stop me. I'll build my church in China, in communist China, and China cannot stop me. I'll build my church. I'll build my church, he said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Even today, places of higher, what I call higher secular institutions, like I say this often, I believe in education. I think it's great. But I think parents should be very careful when they consider secular universities anymore. Because I know of, I can think of two friends that I have that went to college and they went to get a degree maybe in accounting. Maybe they left with a degree in accounting, but they also left with a degree in atheism. They left the degree in count in maybe engineering or maybe a degree in have a teacher's license, but they also have a degree in secular thinking. I mean, I don't know. I mean, people can do what they want to do. I know they always have and they always will. But it'd suit me just fine if my son was a carpenter and he knew Jesus and went to glory. Jesus was a carpenter too, and he was the Son of God. So don't knock the trades. And now there's a high demand for trades and skilled labor. And now society says, in spite of the high demand and in spite of the high wages and in spite of doing it without any college debt whatsoever, hardly, you still must go to the university. You must go to the university. You must go to the universities. Why? Because it is the church of secular atheistic thinking. It is. It is. Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Do you really think that the secular places of higher learning are the gates of hell? They say, come on in, and we'll teach you all that we know. And they sure do teach them all that they know. And they go out to serve the devil and all of his satanic ideologies. They sure do. If you don't think that ain't an institution of wickedness, then I don't know what you're thinking, what you think it might not be. But let us not be confused by the great, nice campuses and the institutions and the architecture of higher learning. If it makes atheists out of our young people, it is the very step of hell. It is. Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. And so even places of higher secular educational institutions will not prevail against my church. Nor will atheism disguised as science prevail against my church. Now people say science is the answer, science is the answer, science is the answer. Science is not, it sure is, but science can't save you. It can't save your eternal soul. I was humored the other day. It was a headline about a particular subject. You can't really tell anymore about a particular subject, because if you say even the particular subject, immediately we've been so politicized, our hearts will drift away from Jesus before the sermon is over. But it was a headline, and it said, the science has changed. I thought, and not, that's cool if it's true, you know, but I'm glad it's never this. Scripture has changed. It's never that. Never. It's never the Lord changed His mind. And I'm glad it's not this, aren't you? I'm glad Scripture doesn't change and there's a new policy now. And it used to be justification by faith, but now you're going to have to do this. And I'm sorry all the people that were under the old system, but you're going to have to work it out different now. I'm glad it doesn't change, aren't you? I'm glad it doesn't change. And so what the gates of hell that are in opposition to the church today, I do think, with great evidence, institutions of higher secular education, there certainly are places there that I would say are the gates of hell. Remember what gates were within the walled cities? It was a place of great influence and power. It was places like courts or businesses, places of great social influence. So when you went to the gate of Jerusalem, you'd say, wow. And they're promoting their ideology, their belief, or their ideas. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The Roman Empire couldn't. Roman Catholicism couldn't. Communism couldn't. Higher secular educational institutions won't. Atheism disguised as science won't. The Taliban won't. They won't. And I think, and I've said this word before, and I want you to get familiar with it because I'm going to say it a lot and more in my future if the Lord should have me live, is hedonism. You might not be familiar with the term, but I've described it often as this, that this system of thought in our country is just that, hedonistic, that we want to maximize pleasure and minimize suffering. And that seems to be the great goal of American society. Maximize pleasure and minimize suffering at all costs. The interest into Christianity is quite different. It is minimizing comfort. Take up your cross and follow me. Minimize comfort, even at the cost of maximizing suffering. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. So within the gates of hell, we have all these institutions that stand against the church. And the big one, and lastly, would be the gates of hell. We think of the devil and all of his wicked institutions. We think of the grave itself. But the church will never die. And hell, in verse number 18, is translated the word Hades. It is literally the idea of the grave. And of course, the grave itself for the unbelievers will be cast into the lake of fire. But here, hell is literally Hades, and it is the grave. It is the place where life ceased to exist. And Jesus said, the place where life ceased to exist will not prevail against my church. It simply means the church will never die. The people of the church will never die. All obituaries read maybe that a person worked here, or they was a member of this group, or they worked here for 38 years. But you'll never see an accurate obituary that says, and please, and I don't like it's even printed this way, they was a member of the Westside Baptist Church, though they are members of the Westside Baptist Church. So maybe you can correct it in the future ones. And of course, we know the thought and the thinking, and it is very respectful. But it's amazing these little subtleties that can change our thinking, and it can become unbiblical over time. But the church never dies. The church never dies. And you'll never see somebody who was a member of the Christian church. I don't mean in paperwork. I mean born again into the body of Christ, baptized by His Spirit. They are forever within His church. Christians, therefore, are indestructible. Of course, I quoted last Sunday night the great passage, and I'm closing in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4, that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. Of course, we've considered these passages also, of course, 1 Corinthians 15, where, as I just quoted, in 1 Thessalonians 4, so shall we ever be with the Lord. We shall meet Him in the air. And the church will never die. It won't. For if the church will go on forever. 1 Corinthians 15:51, the Bible says, and I've just quoted, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The last trump, and the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. The gates of hell will never prevail against the church." Amen? So the good news is, if you've been born again, you are literally indestructible. You are. "I will build my church," Jesus said. "I will build my church." There'll be more threats that we'll face as a church. You might think that maybe some of those descriptions of the gates of hell might be out of place, but you all have been affected by them in your lifetime. Do you remember, even my life, in like the 80s, it seemed like a lot more people went to church to worship. Even, you would say, even unbelievers had a certain respect for the Lord's Day. You remember that? You know what's happened, don't you? The gates of hell prevailed against them. They did. Hedonism, maximize pleasure, minimize suffering. Stay home. Watch the game. Chill out. Don't put yourself through that. Why would you do that? Or atheism. Is there really this? We sent generations to secular institutions where they would, while they were learning how to be an accountant, they're also learning how to be an unbeliever. They were. We send 18-year-olds to live in dorms with other 18-year-olds, and we don't know anything about their background, about their belief systems, about their behavior. And it's no wonder then so many 18-year-olds are being trained by this professor that mom and dad spent so much money that you need to go listen to, and you need to make good grades. And in between classes, they're living with who knows who and doing who knows what. And you think, this really affected me. And you look around. We go to building after building on a Wednesday night. We could go all throughout town, and we could see that the gates of hell has prevailed against so many. But the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. It won't. Amen? My Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this evening. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, remind us that the gates of hell stand against us. They certainly do. But encourage us, Lord, the gates of hell will not prevail against the Christian church. They won't. We're encouraged by the news of the advancement of the gospel in China and even the suffering of the Afghanistan people and the Christian church that's under such oppression. We pray for them. I pray for them. I pray, Lord, for their safety, for their deliverance, and for the gospel to be spread. And Lord, but we're confident that, Lord, even at the loss of life, the church does not die. It goes on forever. And those saints live, and they live even now. Lord, bless us, encourage us, keep us. We love you, we praise you, we thank you for your word and the promises of, Lord, ultimate victory. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.